today matters. This day matters because how many todays have we put together and without any change? So really, I can't emphasize enough just valuing how much time you have here and valuing every moment.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. It's my pleasure to be with you here again tonight. And I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we have a great guest. We're going to talk about being more confident, courageous, vibrant, and free, regardless of your diagnosis, regardless of what's going on in your life, how you can create change and transformation. So tonight we're talking with Karen Seltz. She serves purpose-driven women by helping them become more confident, courageous, vibrant, and free. She calls herself a transformation catalyst. I love that word. By empowering her clients to release limiting beliefs and reconnect with their true power, authenticity, worthiness, and who they were born to be. She has a master's degree in counseling, is a certified life coach, and a brain gym consultant. We're going to talk about brain gym as well. And she has triumphed personally over depression, addiction, lack of self-worth, and low self-confidence. And now she teaches what she's learned. She's learned, I'll say, both through the book and through life. Karen has a loving, fun, and no BS approach that you'll hear tonight. So let's get started. Hi, Karen. Thanks for being on the show.
Hi, Sharon. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
And I'm so excited to have you because I find a lot of people, once they get a diagnosis, sometimes I'll even hear, you know, I didn't have any sort of problems of who I was or self-worth. And then I get this life-altering diagnosis and I begin to question everything. So let's share first a little bit about your amazing transformation and then some of the things you share with your clients on how they deal with that. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know who I am anymore.
Yeah. The diagnosis that we receive can really, you know, be the punch in the gut. But for me, it was something that woke me up to what I was in denial about. You know,
it's interesting when you say woke me up. I think my diagnosis woke me up too. I thought I'd been leading a healthy life, which I had been relatively, you know, I guess pretty much, but not healthy enough to keep my body healthy. And it woke me up too. Interesting. But go ahead. Yeah. I interrupted there.
Oh, that's okay. So, you know, when I got a diagnosis of depression, which I kind of diagnosed myself and then went in and got confirmation, I really started to peel back all those layers of denial. And I always thought that I had extremely high self-esteem and high confidence. And it wasn't until it took a lot of years to realize that I didn't, and that my behavior was showing like something totally different to the world, that I didn't have a lot of self-esteem or self-worth. So, you know, I caution everybody, you know, that friend denial, you know, it's not just a river in Egypt. It was alive and well in me.
You know, it's interesting though, because there's a lot of times that I can think back. One time I did get in a car accident and had a minor head injury. And what was fascinating to me is people kept telling me from the outside, you're not fine. And I kept saying, I'm fine. And my brain, I was absolutely convinced I was fine. So what do we do if we're kind of like, maybe some of this is what Karen and Sharon are saying. Maybe I do have a question. Maybe am I in denial?
Yeah, it's really interesting because for me, I call it the ego mind, you know, that part of us that's comparing us to other people or that is really addicted to the status quo, wants to keep us safe. And, you know, by safe, it could be really small. You know, don't go out for that promotion because you're never going to get it. You know, the other people are smarter than you are. Who are you to go for that promotion? Who do you think you are? You know, all those voices, you know, kept me stuck for a really long time. And I call those the voice of the ego, as a, you know, or the voice of fear, as opposed to the voice of love or spirit or God or whatever you want to call it. So really, there's a lot you can do. One is find a trusted friend or a coach that can start calling you on stuff. Like I say, I have no BS approach. Someone that's not going to co-sign your BS stories, you know, your excuses for why you don't do things. And then really try to observe yourself from out here if you can. And take the judgment off, because that was for me, the big part of it was I was judging myself so harshly because I thought everyone else was or would if I didn't.
You know, it's fascinating. Yeah, when you say from out here, from the outside perspective, I like to do that practice in third person. I know this is going to sound a little wacky, but I like to do it and going, I'm just going to use our two names here. And I'm going, I see Sharon and Karen over there talking. Now, if I was to coach Sharon in this situation, I would tell her to. And then I add something like smile or, you know, whatever it might be. And I find that that takes some of the judgment off when I'm coaching Sharon over there.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's great advice to anybody listening is look at it. And then, you know, taking it even further, if you have somebody that you look up to, it could be anybody. It could be Tony Robbins. It could be Oprah. Pretend you're them. And how would they coach you?
Oh, that's awesome too. That's awesome too.
Yeah.
And I also, one thing that I do for my public speaking, or would take this in a sort of a lateral way, is I have friends that are much, much more extroverted than I am. And I tend to be really introverted, yet I do get up and speak to hundreds of people at a time. What I do is I look at my friends who are a little more extroverted and I go, what behaviors are they doing that gets them results? And then instead of faking it, because you and I both know the subconscious mind is going to say, you're just faking it, I step into them and act as if I am that person. I'll just use the name Sam, you know, and I'll just say step into some of the behaviors I see Sam doing. And it's amazing how my body, my mind, everything believes it and acts as if I have all of the same skills that I admire about Sam.
Yeah, language is so powerful, and it's just a simple reframe. And I have a big 12-step background, and that's what we do in the sixth and seventh step when we identify our character defects, and then we identify what their opposites are, the character assets, and we act as if we have them already. And it's such a big difference.
Oh, language to me is so important to how we talk about whatever's going on in our life, like depression or a diagnosis of an autoimmune, whether we accept, I'll call it ownership. There's a difference between accepting the diagnosis and that you need to change to get a better outcome. Okay, I accept that that's going on in my body right now. And yes, I accept that nutrition, sleep, whatever the recommendations for change are, but boy, that's a big difference than instead of accepting I am depression or I am an autoimmune condition, because your body reacts so differently depending on whether it knows that it is temporary, that you can change, or if it goes, oh, we're always to, you know, this kind of I am, as
yeah,
means we're stuck there.
Right. And that's a bone to pick with the 12-step community as well. Like identifying, like I am an addict, for example, as opposed to I have a history of addiction, or, you know, I have suffered from this addiction, or anything that's not identifying you as a person as that behavior.
Yeah. And I think it's important when we let medical professionals talk to us about whatever's going on in our lives, that we are very careful. And I've even sometimes corrected somebody's language because I don't want my unconscious, subconscious to believe what someone in that white lab coat over there, and I've been taught since a child, is an expert. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes have even corrected them, and I'm saying, you know, could you please use this language with me, because I don't identify that that's how, who my identity is. I agree that I have something going on in my body that needs to be cleared, changed, brought up to snuff, optimized, whatever it is. But it's interesting to me. And it doesn't even have to be the white coat authority, I like to call them, even a trusted loved one. You can hear them, overhear them talking about whatever's going on in your life. And you're like, oh, wow, that's ooh, totally different frame of mind than how I would present it to myself.
Yeah, I love that you are your own advocate, because we have to be. And that's a great sign of high self-esteem. It's like, you know what you need because you've taken the time to identify that. And that's brilliant. I love it.
Well, you know, when we're talking about self-esteem, though, I mean, let's talk about, it's not always a straight line, right, Karen?
Sometimes. No, never.
I mean, there's moments where I really faux pas, and it's been, I can be pretty harsh on myself at times too. So let's talk a little bit about what is self-esteem and self-worth, and that once you have it, it's not always a straight line.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because it does. It goes up and down depending on which stories you're listening to in your head about yourself. So self-esteem is, you know, how you regard yourself. How do you treat yourself? How do you talk to yourself? And somebody with high self-esteem all the time probably doesn't exist, but they would never say something like, I'm so stupid, or why did I do that? You know, just those little things that we catch ourselves saying, at least once we become conscious, we should be catching ourselves. Not to use that S word, the should word, but, you know, that's the goal, is to catch yourself in the act of saying good things or bad things about yourself, and to choose again.
Absolutely.
Make a different choice.
We had Donna Blevins on, oh, a couple of 2-3-4 weeks ago, I can't remember exactly, but she had this great idea about when you catch yourself saying something like that, is absolutely remind yourself that that's not true right away. Right? It's the minute you catch it, go either cancel that, or that's who I used to be, not anymore. Some sort of instant reframe, so your mind doesn't begin to believe, oh, hey, we're going back there.
Right.
No, that just a slip of the tongue. Cancel, cancel, cancel.
Yeah. And always put something positive in its place. And, you know, the work, Byron Katie.
Yes, I love her
question,
work.
You know, is that true? Like, well, no, it's not true. And it's just remembering, you know, who we are at our core. And that's that part of us that never changes. It's that part that's brilliant and shining and perfect love.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Now, I want to talk about this idea of, is that true? Sometimes I've even know that on occasion I've found it to be, it's not always my voice. What's fascinating to me, I'll hear that, who do you think you are? And I know exactly from childhood whose voice that is. And it wasn't my voice. It still isn't my voice. And yet, it's so simple to fall into the trap of believing that statement. And it's interesting how that question is rarely answered in the positive, too. It's always sort of a demeaning, even
yes,
though it's an open question, who do you think you are? Well, that could be open to, like, you know, I'm glorious, I'm wonderful, I'm
right,
awesome.
I'm a precious child of God, you know, of course. Who else could I be?
That's a great answer. Who else could I be? I love
I'm
that.
The light of the world.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Makes us smile. Makes me chuckle too, but it's a fun, loving chuckle. It's like, yes, that feels good. I want to laugh and chuckle. I know you're also known as a happiness guru. So let's talk about laughing and chuckling, since I'm already halfway down this rabbit hole.
There you go.
Ways to become, if we're saying, I'm just really not happy with this situation. I mean, gosh, the diagnosis can be a real bummer. Mm-hmm. What are some things that we can do to improve our happiness?
Well, studies show that the number one thing you can do to improve your happiness level is to become full of gratitude. And it's, at first it seems ridiculous, you know, like, yeah, I'm grateful that my body hurts and is shutting down, you know, but look for things that you really can be grateful for. And it gets, there's a part of your brain called the reticular activating system. And it tells you what is important, what information to look for in your day. So the best example of that is you're looking for a new car and you decide you're going to buy a Tesla. So you've never noticed very many Teslas on the road before because they're fairly uncommon. The moment you decide that you're buying one, you'll start seeing them everywhere. And you'll say, how come everyone all of a sudden drives a Tesla? Well, it's not that. It's just that you didn't pay attention to that detail before. So when we tell our brain, okay, I'm going to keep a gratitude journal, it starts looking for things to be grateful for, which totally changes your perspective and your mindset. And it's made a huge difference in my life and in the lives of many of my clients. Just that one simple thing is learning to be grateful for what you have and not comparing yourself to other people.
Oh, I love gratitude journals. I use them all the time. And I've shared with you before, Karen, but I'm going to share with the audience here that what I like to do is write on the right-hand side, and then I go back a month or 2 months. I don't have a set time exactly, but I don't let it go over 90 days. And I go back and I read what I wrote maybe a month ago. And then on the left-hand page, which I left blank, I write what's changed. And for me, that's so wonderful to see, oh my gosh, you know, when I first got the diagnosis, I was just grateful for sitting upright, breathing, and putting my feet on the floor. And then I can even go back now 4 years ago and go, oh, maybe today I woke up and I'm having a bad day, or there's, you know, I slept wrong and my neck has a crick in it or something. And I'm sort of like, oh my gosh. But I can go back and I go, oh wow, look how far I have come. And that is so powerful to see your patterns as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. What a great tweak on a concept. I love that. And it's so true. Like, it doesn't take very long either. Like, most of my clients, like 10 days in, they're like, oh my gosh, like, it's hard to stop at 5 or 10 things, you know, I want to keep writing.
And I find it changes, even if you're not consciously, maybe you think you have a good relationship with family members. But what I found when I started doing the gratitude journal, I really thought I had a good relationship with family members. But in that grateful frame of mind, all my relationships seemed better. And I can't point that anything particularly changed. Like, oh, you know, I was reminding myself to smile more often or congratulate them or, you know, pat them on the back. I can't point to any of that. I just think it was this, as you said, this looking for gratitude.
Yeah, it's how the brain works. And if you know some simple hacks for the brain, it's pretty easy to raise your happiness set point because only about half of it is predetermined. So we can influence like 50%. That's a lot. So it's, yeah. I know, it feels good to know that you have some control over it.
Well, I'm just thinking if you raised your health by 50%, how optimal you would be. So yeah, that is a lot.
Right? Yeah.
If I raised my health by 50%, how amazing that would be. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, Karen's going to share some of those brain hacks she was just teasing us with. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight here we're with Karen Selt, and she's from HappinessGuru.net. She serves purpose-driven women to help them become more confident, courageous, vibrant, and free. And she calls herself a transformation catalyst. And as you can tell, she's been sharing great ideas on quick and easy change and transformation and how it builds on itself. When we had to take that quick commercial break, Karen was going to share with us some marvelous brain hacks that we can absolutely increase our happiness. And I always like to say, regardless of what's going on in our life. So welcome back, Karen.
Thank you, Sharon. So the first one is a simple thing. And that is to smile. And it just tells your brain, okay, I'm happy. And that's something most of us can do. And you can smile in the mirror. You can smile at strangers, you can smile at people you know, your dog, it doesn't matter, just smile at people.
And I love smiling, but I have to say, if you're walking down the street, at least a lot of places I travel a lot, and you smile at people, sometimes it sort of freaks them out. It's like, I find that hilarious. I do too, but I almost feel like you're going, do I know her? should I know her? Or I don't know what else.
Down the street in New York City, you know, it's surprising. You might get 1 out of 10 that will look back at you and smile, but it's kind of a game. Like my kids play this game, Sweet and Sour. They'll wave at strangers in the car and see who waves back. If they wave, they're sweet. If they don't, they're sour. But what a great game, you know?
Absolutely. And I always like to say about smiling is it lifts all the muscles of your face. So it's actually an awesome exercise for your face. And when you smile, because it's expanding, as you know, it sort of smooths out a lot of wrinkles too. So there's a lot of side benefits.
Yeah. There you go. Well, facelift in a box. Right. Send some serotonin to the brain, you know, it's good stuff.
Okay, so what's another quick brain hack? Smile's easy. That's quick and easy.
Super easy. All right, so one of the things that I love is Brain Gym, and we promised to talk about it. It is a series of very, very simple movements that will rewire your brain in the context of a goal. So if you have a goal and you do a session, it's going to rewire your brain and make a new habit very, very simple and easy for you. Now, in this case, I'm going to show you a couple movements that will help you become positive. Like if you're in a foul state of mind, you can do a couple movements. And I will explain them for the people that are listening. So the first one is called positive points. And they're on your forehead, halfway between the eyebrows and the natural hairline. You're going to take 2 to 3 fingers and place them right above your pupils. And just really gently touch those points. And if you're really conscious, you may start to feel a little pulse there. And sometimes it's uneven in the beginning. and then it will even out after a few seconds of doing this. These are neurovascular holding points. And it is nearly impossible. I'm not going to say impossible because there'll be one of you that try it and say, nope. It's nearly impossible to hold a negative thought while in this position. So it's really, really powerful and it's physiologically based.
I actually find it almost impossible to hold a thought. I know that sounds weird, but I'm like going like, okay. It just seems that it's very clearing. I don't know why.
It is very clearing.
It's very clearing.
So you want to do that for 30 to 60 seconds. And then your brain, it clears out the fog and it lifts the heavy stuff, you know, and if you have any negativity going on, it's really quick. Also good if something stressful happens, like you almost get into an accident, if you can pull over and do that, or the next position I'm going to show you. So I'm going to show you from the waist up. So first, you're going to want to cross your ankles over each other.
Does it matter which way, like left over right?
It doesn't. Left? Does not matter. Okay. And then take your arms in front with your thumbs facing downward, and then cross your hands, intertwine your fingers, and then fold them into your heart. So, yeah, it feels instantly good. If you can't do this for some reason, if it hurts your wrists, just go in vampire position. So just take your hands like you're a corpse.
Vampire
position. Cross like them.
The corpse position, the Calla Lily corpse position, maybe, if people don't know what the vampire position is.
So you can do that. So you just cross your hands over your chest. And that works as well. But what we're doing, I'll explain in a second. So the other thing is you want to bring your tongue up to the roof of your mouth just behind your upper teeth as you inhale. So it looks like this, but you're going to have your mouth closed.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you exhale, bring your tongue down behind your bottom teeth or where it normally goes.
So funny, I've never thought about where my tongue is. So I had to think like, where does it normally go?
Yeah, you just want to drop it down as you exhale. So as you breathe in, you're going to bring your tongue up to the roof of your mouth, just behind your upper teeth. And as you breathe out, just relax your tongue down. And if you want to deepen the relaxation, you're welcome to close your eyes. And I'll explain what's happening. So 12 of the body's 14 meridians begin or end in the fingers and toes. We are making a figure eight like this, with our energy. So if any of those meridians are blocked, it shows up as issues. So for example, the large intestine meridian is also associated with letting go. So we all know those people that if we get into an argument with them, they bring up something that happened 5 years ago. Remember that time you did this?
Or childhood.
Yeah, exactly. So those people may also have large intestine issues as far as constipation goes, because they can't let anything go.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah. So every meridian has something associated with it, an organ system. So go ahead and uncross your feet, uncross your hands, and then you're going to take your fingertips and touch them gently together, kind of in a teepee position. And just really gently, this is the second part, this helps it integrate into the brain. So feet are uncrossed. If you'd like to continue the breathing with the tongue up on the inhale, you may. So the tongue is connecting the other two meridians of the body, which is interesting. The governing meridian and the central meridian. One goes up starting kind of in the crotch, really, and it goes up to just below your lip, your bottom lip. And the other one starts in the same place, but it goes up the back of your body and it ends right above your upper lip. And you're connecting those with the tongue movement. So everything has a purpose and a reason. So I think it's great. So how are you feeling, Sharon?
That's a very relaxing, and I don't know, maybe what was that, a minute and a half, something like that? That's very relaxing. What I loved about it, we were both doing it seated. Is it okay to do it maybe prone or stand?
Yes.
Does it really
so
matter?
If you want to do it lying down, for example, if I can't sleep at night, I go into that position. It's called hookups in Brain Gym, which now has a different connotation, but it was invented years and years before cell phones. If you do it lying down, it's best to put some pillows under your elbows because your arms will get kind of tired.
Oh,
so
I see.
Position your elbows up a little bit. It's more comfortable. You can also do it standing. You can also do it on an airplane, you know, anywhere you are. I've actually prevented anxiety attacks from getting, coming on.
Right. No, I'm thinking about how many times when you said flying, I'm thinking how many times there have been moments where I get these, I'll call them flushes of anxiety. I've learned to walk myself back off the edge, but this seems like I feel quite relaxed now. It seems like a better practice than just talking myself back off the edge.
Yeah, because it's physiological and it's immediate.
Oh, wow. And that's great.
Anxiety is a physiological response to a perceived threat. It's generally not real, but it could be. So yeah, it's just calming the fear response. And also what it does, when we go into a fight or flight type situation and response with our bodies, the brain shuts off blood flow to your prefrontal cortex, which is where your choice is located. So when we go into those reactions with our bodies, we have no choice how to respond to any situation. So this puts us back. We think we do.
Yeah.
But you ever get like that, like where you're just frozen?
Right.
And you can't hold a thought? If you get in that position, you should be able to restore blood flow to your prefrontal cortex, and then you'll have choice again. It's
nice. Great. I'm thinking that it's great, but it also, if in certain situations, it's in moments of what I'll call chaos, it's not the most, I won't say elegance, not the right word, it's not the most balanced position, if I'm saying, with my ankles crossed and my arms sort of wound around each other, but it sure worked fast. I would say, I was feeling a lot of parts on me that were a bit stressed were feeling quite relaxed.
Right. Yeah. There's also an alternate version where you cross your arms like this. So in front of you, if you have your arms straight out and you cross them at the wrists, and then you cross one leg over the other, I'm going to lift my foot up. So with my left arm, I'm going to grab my right toe. And then with my right arm, I'm going to put it on my left shin. So that is still making that figure eight, but it's crossed over my leg.
Oh my goodness. So, highly flexible, everyone. That looks like a...
But, I'm sitting down doing it now. You can't see it.
Right.
I can move the camera down.
Yeah. Right. And so, well, you could actually do that sitting and just bring your your left ankle up to your right knee and prop it there and begin to make the figure eight that way.
Yeah.
I get it. That one does seem a little bit simpler in certain situations.
Yeah, it's much more simple, but it's a lot more difficult to demonstrate.
Yeah, definitely on video. I'm not explaining it on audio. Yes, if you're even can't follow along on the audio, pop over to YouTube, Understanding Autoimmune, and check out the video of it too. Because some of these moves, as we try to describe them, you're like, huh, I can't quite picture that. But anyway, that's awesome because I am feeling much more relaxed, and yeah, my brain is thinking faster. I know that sounds weird, but I can tell that the questions are coming faster and the responses are coming faster. And that didn't take any time at all.
And the other thing is when we are stressed, our non-dominant hemisphere of the brain shuts off. Like we can't access it. So most women are right-brained. So it's more creative and more emotional. And most men are left-brained, which is logical. Things need to make sense. So if they're in a conflict and it's getting heated, they're missing each other because the woman's coming from this emotional place. Men can't access their emotions. They're stuck in logic and nothing gets accomplished. So if everyone just sits in hookups for a minute or the variation, then you can have a conversation instead of just reactions.
I even love the word, hey, honey, let's hook up. Anyway, okay, well, we'll keep this show family oriented here, but that could change the mood quick too. So well, we're just, so that's two great ones. You have like a third one that you share with people for coming back into happiness?
Let's see. So there's so many. Here's one. Keep a list of things that bring you joy. And anytime you start to feel like crappy or, you know, just even average, go to that list and do something on it. So it could be making brownies and taking them to your neighbor. Usually doing something for someone else that's unexpected will lighten your, you know, bring your mood up, elevate it.
Oh, I love that. I love the things that bring you joy. Years ago, when I was feeling pretty low at a low point in my life, my friends took me to a talk. It was a Buddhist talk. And I remember the expert there saying, the one thing about people is we practice everything except joy. And his comments were all based on, why is that? You know, you're taught to practice your job and become an expert in that. You're practice music, piano, whatever it would be. But he says, you know, we never just take time just to practice joy. That is always set in this my mind, like, yep, what are you doing today? I'm just practicing joy today.
Yeah. And even setting an intention every morning, like today I choose to be happy. It's just so simple. Set an intention and you'll be surprised. You know, that reticular activating system is going to do everything it can to make sure you experience that.
I love that. And that brought to mind a thing that happens that sometimes when you get cut off in traffic, there's this moment where, you know, certain things, you're no longer joyful all of a sudden. At least I'm not, when someone cuts me off in traffic. And here again, a mentor told me one time to say, I choose to let them be 5 seconds ahead of me because that's where I'm supposed to be. And I was like, yeah, I like to make those, I choose to be happy. I choose to let them be 5 seconds in front of me. And nice. It was really a nice reframe of just, okay, instead of getting angry and whatever, it's just, yes, I choose to let them be 5 seconds in front of me. And to me, my brain was going, 5 seconds, no big deal. I think if I had said, I choose to let them be an hour, maybe my competitive streak might have, you know, jumped in there. But there was just some nice reframe about, I choose to let them be 5 seconds ahead of me was pretty amazing.
Nice. I have to say, I don't even notice people cutting me off anymore. And as you say that, maybe I drive too quickly.
Either that, you're just choosing to be happy. It's so ingrained in you, you don't even notice it.
I don't know. I really don't notice that. That doesn't ever happen to me. I don't know.
My guess is that you've trained your brain to be happy all the time and you don't notice the annoyance anymore.
Well, I don't know about all the time, but you know, I've made some tweaks.
We're up against our second commercial break here. We're going to take that and we'll come back with Karen and find out some more great transformation about releasing limiting beliefs and ways to reconnect. So we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And here tonight, we're with Karen Saltz, and she serves purpose-driven women by helping them become more confident, courageous, vibrant, and free. She's a transformation catalyst, and she's been sharing with us all great little hacks, great ways to quickly and easily change what's going on in our brain. And she's also a brain gym consultant and a certified life coach. And now I want to get into this idea of releasing limiting beliefs. We've talked a little bit about the voices in our head and ways to relax and become more authentic in our own true belief of who we really are, I say our core self. But, you know, sometimes limiting beliefs don't have to be about our core self. They can be about, you know, I'm thinking even about like food. We can have limiting beliefs. We can have all those sorts of things. How do you help people uncover what their limiting beliefs are? I've often found that it takes someone else pointing it out to me. And I'm like, I wasn't even aware I believed that.
There are lists that we get to make. And they start with, you know, what are the things we tell ourselves about ourselves? Like, what can we do? What do we think we can do? What do we think we can't do? That's the big thing. I get into really diving deep into what people want. Like, what do you want for yourself in the next 12 months? What would make this the best year of your life? And what are the things that are going to prevent you from doing that? And that's where you get all those little things, you know, start to come in. People know usually, like, oh, it'll be my lack of self-confidence or my lack of motivation, and those tend to be stories. They're not real, but they have, you know, manifested themselves in our lives and become our history and our story up until this point. So that's one way. The other thing is beliefs that we hold about the world. Life is supposed to be fair. Money doesn't grow on trees, things like that. And how many of those stories can we uproot? When you're concentrating on this, it's good to keep a little notebook near you. And when they come up, when you see yourself have a reaction to something, you just write it down really fast, like, oh, there's another one, and, you know, be happy. You know, it's like you're a detective. And you're on this quest to find out what's exactly in there. What's your operating system? And then we can go through the process of starting to question those and to disprove them. So what would be an exercise for you to disprove something that you've believed about yourself? And then we just come up with a plan. So Sharon, for example, what's something you want to do in the next 12 months?
Mm, there's a particular trip I want to take, but I don't know if that's a limiting belief. Let's see. I just haven't gotten around to doing that. See, I'm trying to go through the difference between procrastination and limiting beliefs. They must be related, right?
They're good friends. Usually there's if you're procrastinating, there's a limiting belief under there.
Yeah, so then that's what I'm thinking as I'm thinking, why haven't I gotten around to doing that? And?
Or it's just not important to you.
True, that's true.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, we can get into what are your values.
Right.
Is traveling one of your top priorities or values?
Oh, I travel all the time. I think for me, travel's gotten to the point where it's a fact of life more than a value. At first, I used to love to travel just for the sake of travel. But now that you travel so much, I can't say that's true for me.
Let's see. So maybe you don't get pleasure out of it like you used to. Or that you're letting the hassle of getting there stand in the way of the pleasure of being there.
Yes, let's say I don't look forward to the getting there. I always have a great time once I'm there.
Right.
I have to say, I do have limiting beliefs that I notice that are beliefs about like, oh my gosh, it's going to be, you know, another whatever. It usually involves air flight, you know, where I'm like, ugh. Air flights becomes no fun is probably a limiting belief of mine.
Yes.
That I seem to have in my own mind reconfirming.
Yes. And you caught, see how quickly you caught that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't even give me a chance to point it out. So yeah. So that's a story. And what could you do to change that story? What could you do to make it more fun?
Take better food. Now, I know that sounds weird. Because of food sensitivities, regardless of what class of flying I'm doing, I always take all my own food. And not too long ago, I picked up something that was absolutely awesome at the store and I took it. And even the flight attendant looked at it and go, "Where'd you get that?" That made it kind of fun and special that I was the only one eating this awesome meal.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just one simple tweak. You could make games like the smiling game. Like I'm going to smile and see how many people I can get to smile and count them. I'm going to see if I can find 10 people wearing red shirts. I don't know. It could be anything just to spice it up, you know, change your thought pattern because it can be fun.
Right. Absolutely.
Find somebody being a good parent.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought that's really interesting. Not even a good parent. I mean, any sort of thing, finding specific things. That almost reminds me of that game that you played as a child in the car. What is it?
I Spy
or something like that? Isn't that interesting? As adults, we don't play those games anymore, do we?
No. Not well, if we have children, we do.
Right.
Or if we behave like children.
I'm just thinking, though, what a great way to change your mindset is to play some of those games we liked as children, even if we do it silently in our head. Perhaps we don't want to involve our, you know, everyone on the plane of Letterwood doing I Spy, but.
So, but you might. You might brighten their day.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
analyzing behaviors of people is kind of fun, or trying to figure out what mood they're in. And, you know, maybe you make it a point to improve somebody's mood.
Including my own during the process.
If you've ever done that, it rubs off. You can't help but feel better.
Right.
I'll tell you this.
Happiness is contagious just like sadness is contagious.
It is. When I was in college, I paid my way myself by waitressing. And I studied behavior just as a way to increase my income, but because it was fascinating to me. So my goal was always to like size up my table, size up the people there and see what I thought they would respond to. And then I would change myself like a chameleon to be whatever they wanted and to improve their mood. And I always had this thought, like, I don't know if they go out to dinner once a year or once a week. What if this is that once a year? And I don't make them have the best experience they've ever had dining. You know, I don't know.
That's a great game. No, that's an awesome game. And I work a lot with help understand body language and nonverbal communication too. And so part of me, as you're bringing this to my mind, that's a natural part of me. I'm always observing people and situations. But it's fascinating to actually put it into play of this what if game. What if I smiled? Oh, well, that was interesting. Didn't expect that response, or that was a good response, whatever it is. And sort of play this what if game would be a fascinating game on a plane to see if you could just change the entire energy of the plane. Because one thing I noticed about, I might be in a pretty good mood, but after being on the plane, it's almost as if sort of this, oh my goodness, thought of flying isn't fun, isn't just my thought, but maybe it's sort of the contagion of the plane.
Yeah.
And playing the game of what if I could change that? Well, that's fascinating. Oh my God.
And even, you know, taking the perspective of a child, think about flying for the first time. It was fascinating. I mean, I flew as a child and I wanted to see all the instruments in the cockpit and look at the clouds, they're puffy. And, you know, if you look at things with curiosity, you're going to see a lot more. And it'll be more interesting and definitely more fun.
Oh my gosh, look at things with curiosity. We're just, I can't believe it, Karen. We're down to just the last 5 minutes. What final tips do you have? And then share with us how everyone can get a hold of you.
Really, it starts with setting an intention. You know, what do you want? How do you want to show up in the world? How do you want to be? How do you want your life? Because this is it. This is our life. And today matters. This day matters because how many today's have we put together and without any change? So really, I can't emphasize enough just valuing how much time you have here and valuing every moment and being grateful for it because, you know, not everybody has what you have. And so it's just important, you know, to be grateful and to value what you have. And then, you know, really paying attention to what stories you're telling yourself and doing it with lightness and fun, like the detective we talked about, you know, like, oh, what can I uncover today? And, oh, look what I did there, or look what Karen did there. You know, like putting it in the third person, like Sharon mentioned, it's really a nice way of doing it. You know, uprooting, uncovering, like, oh, look at that. Didn't know I had that one. And just having fun with it. And then anytime you catch yourself in some negative spin, put a positive in its place. And that helps a ton. And when you are sad, embrace it. Don't push it away. You know, you can journal, you can cry, you can call a friend. But the quicker you decide to embrace those feelings, because they're not going to kill you. I know I used to think they would. But if I give myself a good cry, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes, it's amazing how it just like washes through. And then I have this sense of calm. So allow yourself the opportunity to process those feelings and don't do it alone. You know, you can process your feelings and then call somebody or call somebody and process your feelings, but you don't have to do anything alone. And if you want to reach me, you can do so at happinessguru.net. And that's where I am. And I also have an online show called Mind Body Spirit Synchronicity, and that's at mindbodyspiritsynchronicity.com.
Fantastic. It's an awesome, awesome show, guys. Check it out. I absolutely love it and listen to it. Plus, Karen, you've got a 30-minute breakthrough session for us as a great gift. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So that is a chance to talk with me one-on-one. You can talk about anything, anything, anything you want. And I promise you, we're going to get through some of the BS stories you've been telling yourself, even if you haven't been telling yourself. If you want something the next level, we're going to break through and we're going to figure out how to get you there. And that's free.
Awesome. And I'll have the link to that over at understandingautoimmune.com. So you guys can pop over there and get that, as well as Karen's transcript of this show is be there as well. So that's understandingautoimmune.com. And if you want the transcript, just sign up for Transcribe Tribe, which is always there. Not only Karen's, but a lot of our other guests have great transcripts there. And please join me on Facebook at Understanding Autoimmune, as well as if you're listening to this in podcast, join us over at YouTube so you can see the video. And if you're some of the different positions Karen had us in to relax ourselves, get our mind body working together in synchronicity, you can watch them there on video. And that's at YouTube, Understanding Autoimmune. Everyone join me next week for another episode. Have a great week, whatever your adventures. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction, but recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.